We're told all the time that modern tech is, you know, all about convenience. You scroll, you click, you share, it's instant. But we all kind of know there's this unspoken cost, right? Our privacy.
Exactly. We trade our data, our habits, our digital independence, really, for these slick platforms run by massive corporations.
And that trade-off feels, well, it feels a bit sneaky. Because the moment that platform changes its terms or gets bought out or just shuts down, you lose everything, the community, your history, all of it.
It's gone, and you have no control.
So today we are doing a deep dive into something that was built from the ground up to just bypass that problem entirely. We're looking at sources on RetroShare. It's a free and open source software or FOSS platform.
It's a whole toolkit, really, for communication, for sharing, all built on one core concept: secure, decentralized, friend-to-friend networking, or F2F.
And our mission here is to give you a really clear, beginner-friendly roadmap to understand how a network built on trust not on giant servers actually works. But before we get into all that, we really want to thank the supporter of this deep dive. SafeServer handles hosting and supports your digital transformation. They're great for projects like this, open source software that needs robust architecture. You can find more info at www.safeserver.de.
Okay, so to set the stage, just think of RetroShare as a secure app. It runs pretty much everywhere: Linux, Windows, Mac, Android. But the huge difference is that it gives you things like chat, mail, file sharing, but with zero reliance on any central authority. No corporate server.
It makes you the owner of your own little network.
Exactly.
Okay, so that brings up the big question, the why. I mean, why go to all this trouble? We've got a million free chat apps. What's the real driver behind building something that asks you to sort of push back against the easy option?
Well, at its core, it's all about independence and self-determination. The people behind this saw where things were heading years ago. One of their main goals was just creating a social sharing network that had zero ties to any corporation.
Because those centralized services, they can
Hey,
just disappear.
they have an expiry date, or they
Oh.
just change the rules without any warning.
We've all seen that happen. I mean, the sources mention things like MySpace or that German platform Stutevs. One day they're massive, the next they're a ghost town, and years of community history just poof.
Exactly. Or, you know, think about a company like Skype getting bought by Microsoft. The moment that control gets consolidated, the user experience can change overnight. Your privacy guarantees can change, and there's nothing you can do about it. RetroShare is designed to be stable ground away from all that.
So independence is number one. What about the other goals like security and free expression?
So goal two is just favoring really strong cryptography in everything you do. The point is to make your information hidden from, well, intelligence agencies and big data collecting companies. And that ties right into goal three: freedom of speech. I mean, if your forum or your chat group is spread out across hundreds of user computers, it's censorship resistant by its very design. There's no single server you can send a takedown notice to.
And this is really important. The sources stress that it's FOSS free and open source software. Why is that so critical for something that promises security?
Because security has to be verifiable. I mean, if the code is secret, you just have to trust the company that it's doing what it says it's doing.
That there's no back door.
Right, that it isn't secretly collecting your data. With FOSS, the code is right there out in the open. Any developer in the world can look at it, they can check the C++ code, and they can verify that the crypto is solid and the app isn't phoning home. That transparency,
Yeah.
that's the only real foundation for trust.
Okay, so that brings us to the big technical question. If you get rid of central servers, how do you actually connect people securely?
And that's solved by what they call the friend-to-friend, or F2F, topology.
F2F. It sounds simple, but it's a completely different mindset from what we're used to, right? We live in this world where we just log into Google servers. So break down F2F for us.
Okay, think of it like this. Normally, everyone uses a big public post office to send mail. In RetroShare, you can only send a letter directly to your verified friends. You're building a network of individual computers nodes, we call them.
And you run your own node.
You run your own node, and the only people you connect to directly are the people you choose, the people you trust, and the people you verify.
So it's not some big automatic global thing. It's more like a secure neighborhood, and you're the one handing out the keys. And that key exchange is done by swapping these RetroShare certificates, right?
Precisely. And here's the crucial security detail: the actual location of your node, your IP address, is only known to your direct neighbors, the people you swap certificates with.
So if I'm your friend, I know your IP address, but my friend, who isn't your friend, has no idea where you are.
None at all. And that massively increases your privacy compared to a normal PTP system.
That makes the line between who you trust and who you don't crystal clear. But what if I want to talk to someone beyond my direct friends, a friend of a friend? How does the system keep that secure and anonymous?
Okay, so that needs two layers of security. The first layer is authentication. And that's where you get these strong asymmetric keys in the PGP format. Think of PGP like your digital passport and your signature all in one.
It guarantees you are who you say you are.
It guarantees that, yes. It authenticates the link between your two nodes.
Okay, so PGP handles identity. What keeps the data itself secret?
That's layer two. And that's handled by an open SSL implementation of TLS, Transport Layer Security. This basically creates a secure encrypted tunnel between you and your friend. But the really important detail here is that it uses something called perfect forward secrecy.
That definitely sounds like a technical buzzword. What does that mean in simple terms?
It means that if, say, years from now, someone manages to steal your main private key, your master key, they still can't go back and decrypt your old conversations. Because each chat session uses a brand new temporary key that gets destroyed right after you're done. So even if someone steals the key to the vault later, all the old evidence has already been burned. It protects you from future compromises.
Wow. So you've got this F2F network with PGP for identity and TLS with perfect forward secrecy for the encryption. It's like a mathematically verified web of trust.
It's a closed loop system built for exactly that. Resilience.
Okay, now for the really interesting part. The actual services running on top of this secure mesh. Because RetroShare isn't just about security for its own sake, it's about having tools that can survive without a central company. So what can you actually do with it?
Real. Because the data transfer is so robust, it allows for a whole suite of services that feel familiar but work in a totally different way. You got your standard instant chat, of course, for text and images.
Right.
And decentralized chat rooms, a bit like old school IRC.
And you can chat with friends of friends too, right?
You can. That's called distant chat, and it goes through those anonymous tunnels we were just talking about.
But the mail system, that's what really caught my eye. If there's no Gmail server, how does asynchronous mail, getting a message when you're offline, how does that even work?
That is the really clever part. When you send an encrypted message, RetroShare doesn't send it to a server. It securely stores copies of that message on your friends' nodes.
Wait, so my social network is my mail server?
Exactly. Your trusted friends act as these temporary, secure mail relays. When you finally log back in, their nodes deliver the messages to you, and then they delete their copies. It removes that single point of failure.
That's a fascinating way to flip the model on its head. Okay, what about content, like forums, discussions, that kind of thing?
All decentralized. They have forums where you can actually read and write posts even when you're completely offline.
Offline.
Yep. Then when you reconnect, RetroShare uses its data sync system, it's called GXS, to automatically sync up all the new posts across the network.
Yeah.
And that's why the forums are so censorship resistant. The content literally lives everywhere.
And this GXS system, that's the big technical jump from version 0.6 that the sources mentioned, right?
It's the engine that makes it all possible, yeah.
Yeah.
It abstracts how all this authenticated data gets distributed and synchronized. It powers the offline forums, but also things like boards for sharing pictures and links with voting and comments built in.
And for bigger stuff like media feeds or files.
For that, you have channels. Users can publish files, and if you subscribe, you automatically download the latest content when you connect. And then there's the core file sharing, which uses a swarming technology, a bit like BitTorrent, to speed things up. But the key is that all those transfers are routed through the secure anonymous tunnels to protect your privacy.
And we should probably mention, the sources say there is an experimental prototype for voice and video calls through a plugin. So it's still growing.
It shows the framework is extensible. They're always trying to build more on top of that secure mesh.
Okay, so let's talk about the next level of security for people who need, you know, maximum operational security. You mentioned hiding your IP even from your direct friends. How does RetroShare do that?
This is where it can integrate with networks like Tor and ITP. You can choose to tunnel your entire RetroShare connection through one of those services.
And what does that do exactly?
The significance is that if you're using Tor, for example, even your direct friend nodes can't see your real IP address. All they see is an exit node from the Tor network.
That seems critical, especially if you're connecting with people you don't know perfectly well or if you're in a place with heavy surveillance.
Absolutely. And the developers know that can be tricky to set up, so they provide specific builds of RetroShare that have Tor embedded and managed automatically. It just lowers that technical barrier to getting high security.
So we've got the why, the how, the what. It honestly sounds like a digital utopian dream. It's free, it's secure, it's open source, it's censorship resistant. So I have to ask the classic question, what's the catch?
And it's important to be really clear here. There is no monetary catch. It's free software. No ads, no hidden costs, no profit motive. The catch is entirely social.
Which is?
You have to build your own network. RetroShare doesn't come with a billion users already on it. You have to go out and recruit your friends, convince them to install it, and then you have to exchange those digital certificates. It takes real effort.
So the friction isn't the technology, it's the social commitment. Instead of paying with your data, you're paying with your time and initiative. That's a powerful difference.
It's a price of real digital independence.
Let's touch on the history for a second. The project was started by a developer, Dubob, way back in 2006. I mean, that's ancient in internet years.
It really is. It speaks to its staying power. And that long history allowed for that big evolution we mentioned, version 0.6 with the GXS system. That wasn't just adding features, it was completely standardizing how this distributed data gets handled, which made things like the asynchronous mail and the resilient forums even possible.
So for our listeners who really appreciate the goals here, this kind of censorship evading tech, how can they get involved?
There are a bunch of ways, and the sources lay them out. The simplest is to just tackle that social catch we talked about. Spread the word, invite your friends. On a non-technical level, you can help translate RetroShare into other languages or just report bugs when you find them.
And for anyone listening with some C++ or QMake skills who wants to get their hands dirty.
Oh, they're explicitly welcomed. The sources say you can create patches, submit pull requests. A platform like this needs constant work, and the community benefits from every single developer who shares that vision of digital sovereignty.
So, looking back on this deep dive, the key takeaways for me are pretty clear. RetroShare is FOSS. It's built on a secure F2F network using PGP and TLS with perfect forward secrecy. It enables these incredibly resilient services like forums and mail by storing data on friends' nodes, not a central server, and it has optional high-level anonymity through Tor and I2P.
It's a platform driven purely by the goals of security and freedom. It's a genuine alternative, but only if you're willing to put in the work.
And that really leaves us with our final provocative thought. The biggest barrier to truly secure decentralized communication isn't the technology, it's the social effort required to build your trusted network. So if digital sovereignty is the prize, how much work are you actually willing to put in to get it? Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into RetroShare. And a final thank you to our supporter, SafeServer, for making this possible. You can find out how they can help with your hosting and digital transformation needs at www.safeserver.de.
Keep exploring these concepts of digital sovereignty. We'll catch you on the next deep dive.